Yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Big Wavy Roy Johnson here.
Hello everyone, this is the interview queen, Alicia Tu.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis.
This is the professional Nathan Crew.
This is Veggie.
This is the Callahan Death Machine in withdrawal, and the face of Impact Wrestling, Sammy Callahan.
The one and only shot with Thunder Willie Mack.
This is Shreddy Breck, a.k.a. Mr. Clangin' and Bangin'.
And you're listening to...
You are listening to...
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious. Hey, yeah.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Broken But Glorious. No Chris Lappin this week, so I'm your host Nick Davey for this week, and delighted to be joined by three-time wrestling author Oliver Newman.
Hello.
How you doing this evening, Oliver?
No Mark Knox either. I messed that up. Sorry. Yeah, I'm doing okay. Thanks, Nick. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. Thank you, buddy.
Very good.
Yeah, no, we've got quite a positive show in place tonight after a great week in wrestling. So, yeah, no, very much looking forward to it this evening. We're going to be discussing a bit of Crown Jewel. And, of course, to top it off, we'll be doing our positive in pro wrestling as usual. No quiz this evening, I'm afraid, as only two of us on, and no big debate. So, but what we'll make up in quantity, we'll make up in quality, won't we? So,
always.
I think the major talking point for this week in wrestling is obviously, as it always happens with the Saudi Arabia, there's always a little bit of controversy. So news that dominated, well, almost world news actually, that came in sort of on BBC and Sky and everything. Talent was stranded in Saudi Arabia on the Friday after post Crown Jewel and couldn't make the return to SmackDown Live. Obviously made a bit of a different episode. I don't know if you've seen the news about it wasn't actually mechanical issues that laid them. It was a bunch of other stuff with Vince and around with money. What are your sort of thoughts on this? And obviously, again, there's this sort of, obviously you've got talent now saying they might even leave the company because they've lost loads of respect for Vince McMahon. What are your sort of thoughts on another disaster with Saudi Arabia?
See, the thing for me was that in chat, I kind of had a premonition that SmackDown might have been preempted because of the Saudi Arabia show. And I kind of wonder if that played any part. No, I'm kidding. It's only things that we've read. It's a bit of hearsay and stuff, but for Vince to get on a plane and leave people behind, which is what we've been told via various news outlets, it's very difficult, in all honesty. I can understand where people are coming from. I myself haven't watched Crown Jewel, so good luck with talking about that in a bit, Nick. Just a bad situation all around, really, because it's not the wrestler's fault. I don't know what to say about it, really. I've read today that, there's a possibility that there's not going to be any more Saudi Arabia shows, which is really interesting because they had a 10-year contract. I don't know to be honest, a lot of it's hearsay and what have you, but it, if he's got on the plane and left his wrestlers in the country, that's pretty bad, to be honest. And I can understand why the wrestlers are looking at the contracts and thinking, I don't know if I want to work here anymore. People have, certain wrestlers have come out and said that they don't want to do it again. So they might truly have to go to all the legends who are still with us and say, you fancy doing Saudi Arabia next year?
Well, I've got all of Meltzer's review on it, Dave Meltzer. So he said WWE not been paid for the previous Saudi show as of 30th of September. Then we've got reported hours being apparently just before hours before the Crown Jewel even went on air, they got an unspecified $60 million payment. Apparently it's obviously
I wish that would happen into my bank account.
Talent, as you just rightfully said, Talent then said they're never going back to Saudi Arabia, and apparently they couldn't actually wait to leave the company altogether. Got more here. Apparently, two major points. WWE, as I say, wasn't paid for the previous Saudi show back in just after WrestleMania. Apparently, yeah, there was a 40-minute delay in airing as well. Apparently, Vince wasn't sure wanted to pull the plug on it altogether. But obviously, that mysterious payment meant that it did go ahead. None of the talent was armed, but there was enough talent that did actually felt they felt like sorry, none of the talent was harmed. Was armed, not armed. Were actually
armed. Yeah, I was thinking to get some guns.
They weren't harmed anyway, but they did feel like hostages, even though they were freely allowed to leave. But they still felt like a sort of hostage situation. And it's just a really bizarre situation to be in. Apparently, yeah, just to top it off, Andy Lesnar and Heyman weren't originally scheduled to be on the SmackDown show, but they obviously got added last minute and then obviously made the bit the news that they're jumping to Raw. But it is just I've never known anything like it. I mean, we're talking a $1 billion company, how it can go this so terribly wrong, sort of thing, of just a complete calamity.
I think the thing is, in this situation, though, there's, we've always kind of said, well, people have said, you know, about dealing with this situation, and I don't know, just really, really awful. Like I said, it doesn't make anyone look good, and, you know, and you just feel sorry for the wrestlers, because without the wrestlers, much like without the fans, there is no show.
Yeah.
That's all we can say about it, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be a watch this space for now on, obviously, on the latest installments that come out of, obviously, the way I like to call it, the Saudi disaster. Well, as we're on the subject now of the Saudi show, we'll quickly touch on Crown Jewel this week. Obviously, I won't go into the matches because I haven't watched the show, but let's go to the major talking points. Start off with the opening sort of match.
Was Brock Lesnar versus Cain Velasquez, was it worth ending Kofi Kingston's reign?
Yes, because I couldn't stand Kofi's reign any longer. That's just from my personal perspective. I just thought the reign was, I would have taken anything for Kofi's reign to come to an end. I think with this match, I mean, there's all sorts of reports. Apparently, Kane was actually injured before the match even begun. I mean, the title's on Brock, it's not on Kofi, which I'm happy about. If it's true that Brock's going to work more matches, then I think it's too early to tell that, to answer that question. I think the match was always going to get bum on seats. It was going to get people around the world watching, which I imagine it's done so. The match, less about the actual match, the better. It disappoints, I think.
Well, it was so short that it was actually able to be put into a video on Twitter.
Yeah, it was. It's a bit like when sometimes we get like a boxing match and it ends in round one. People are delighted because it means they can watch the result on Twitter, sort of thing. But actual match itself.
How much did Velasquez get paid, or is he a full time member of the roster now? Or
I think he's got a house show match in Mexico, I believe.
Okay.
Whether that's been cancelled, I don't know how serious his injury is, but I believe he's got a. I think it's sort of start of December. I believe he's got a house show match where he's, I think it's him and Ray versus Brock, and Brock's apparently buddy Shelton Benjamin.
He did train him. He did a room with him in the University of Minnesota. So yeah.
That
did happen.
No. So that's talk about. But yeah, no, I thought overall they're just. I'd say for now, yes, I still agree that it was the right decision to end Kofi's reign. But it would just be aware, watch this space now. I think I'm happy that the decision, they've obviously moving into Raw. I think it's blatantly obvious who his opponent's going to be coming up. I know obviously Survivor Series is hard to call when they do the multi-brand matches, but post Survivor Series, I think it'll be him versus Ray. I believe it's TLC. Judging by the end of the match of them smacking a chair around, it'll probably be some sort of heart. But I imagine it will be something involving give it a chair match, or even a tables, ladders, and chairs match. Which,
as long as they give us Brock Lesnar versus Rey Mysterio, I didn't really care how they got to that, to be honest.
Well,
I think they could really tear it up. It could be amazing.
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to get that. But yeah, no, just a bit of a rubbish match. To answer Chris's original question, I'd say yes, it still was the right decision for Kofi's title to reign to end. But it'll be interesting to see where they go from here.
I kind of saw a little bit of the match on Twitter, I suppose. I think that they needed to change up Kofi's character in order for him to continue to be the champion, and they didn't do it. I think he had like a title reign akin to Bret Hart in 92-93, where he was having good matches, and that's all he could do, really, because he hadn't become the character he needed to be. He was just having good matches, and in terms of the reign, anyway. Kofi, you know, he needed to become a bit more serious, I think, and that didn't happen. That's what I thought of him. In terms of this 2-minute match, I don't know, with Velasquez being injured, I guess that's his out, but... to lose clean by the Kimura, wasn't it, I think? I don't know what that does for him, to be honest.
I don't know whether he'll come to say, I know he's got that house show match,
got a huge upside, because, you know, if you saw any of the AAA stuff, he was doing some ridiculous Lucha Libre. He's getting himself ready to be a wrestling superstar. It's just whether they have the patience to make him one, really. And losing clean in 2 minutes, injury or not, is not a good start to that, is it, really?
Well, his punches as well, and Sean, but I think we said it before on the show, his punches a few weeks ago against Shelton was just embarrassing. I know wrestling's fake, but this was just it was actually painful to watch, sort of thing. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, if I was sort of watching wrestling like Butlins or something, I'd be embarrassed for the wrestlers if they were doing stuff like that. That's how calamitous it was, whether I'm being over the top. But also as well, the fact that it's
listeners in Finland who believe that wrestling's 100% real, Nick.
Yeah, it was
predetermined, people. Still real.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Whatever happened to that guy?
No idea. as I say, because he's got to work on obviously his wrestling, but just basic moves as well. He's got to work on. But whether we see him again in a capacity will remain to be seen. Only a couple of other matches I really want to touch on, which was the Strowman Tyson Fury match. It made Sky's news, but the entrance was better than the match itself, I thought. I loved Fury's entrance. That was brilliant. That was pretty as good as the match got. It wasn't as bad as the Lesnar match, but it couldn't have got much worse than that. I want Fury to work out, and I really wanted to work out whether if he actually puts the effort in on training and gets better. I'll be all for seeing him having another match, even if they have a rematch. Because there's obviously potential rematch given the way after the match Strowman slammed Fury to the floor. But yeah. I think Fury's got all the potential to go on. He's obviously a massive lad. He's obviously a major star. His promo, going to have to watch his promos before a boxing match, and they're great. His merch is superb. I really want to get that Gypsy King sort of shirt he wore on Raw a few weeks ago. I can't remember. It's like a football sort of shirt. I'm a big fan of when wrestlers sort of do it mixed in with like a football shirt. Do you remember the Cesaro and Sheamus shirt, the bar shirt they had last year before they sort of disappeared off the face of the earth, the sort of football one? I thought that was class, that one.
I'm not sure.
I'm just a big fan of sort of football-y wrestling merch sort of thing. So
keep paying Tyson Fury $15 million an appearance, though, Nick.
Yeah, I don't think that, because, well, especially the Saudi contract. Yeah, spot on, exactly. But yeah, no, not very much to say about the match itself. I think it was what we said on the show last week that we all sort of agreed on the same point that if obviously Strowman loses, then he's lost to obviously a fantastic prize fighter boxer. So there's no harm in that. And again, Fury lost, and he's lost to one of those WWE's best stars in a sport that he's not actually competing in. So. I think as well, Strowman at the end, calling him a piece of crap and then slamming him on the floor, keeps him looking still like a bit of a monster. I'd like to see Strowman do a bit more now on SmackDown. He could have even potentially have a feud with a new champion on SmackDown, which we'll get to in a bit. So it'd be interesting where Strowman goes through it, but I don't think the damage is done on Strowman as a result.
Fair enough.
Do you have any views on it?
The fact it was on Sky Sports News makes it, you know, worldwide. Like I said, I haven't watched the show. I've seen different little bits and pieces because of the news that were reported and stuff. Won by count out, so that's not the worst kind of loss. And to like a boxing punch and stuff, wasn't it? And then Strowman slammed him after the match. So I think that's one and done. To be honest, they ain't going to pay him $15 million per time. That's not happening. And I think the locker room would be up in arms about that, to be honest. So, yeah.
And the final one I want to say about was it's finally happened, albeit a month late, and the absolute disastrous Hell in a Cell where I was tempted not to watch wrestling again. But given how good Dynamite and NXT is, I couldn't pull myself away. But I watched Crown Jewel, and at the end of the night, maybe because I had loads of the leftover trick or treat sweets, but I was screaming like a little boy with the ending to the show. As I say, still not happy with how they've gone about it, WWE. But one, Seth reigns over, Reign of Terror is over. And number two, The Fiend is the Universal Champion. I'm just delighted, as I say. I'm still not happy, don't get me wrong, about how Hell in a Cell ended and how bad it's been as well as post Hell in a Cell in the build-up to Crown Jewel. It's been a disaster. I think even on the show last week, how negative I was about it, said I've lost complete interest. Well, the match has got me back to life with
Did Bray. The match do it for you, though, if he... he's got no. I'm not sure of the word.
I know what you mean.
Means absolutely nothing now, doesn't it? Based on the fact that he hit it, 10 times from what I've read?
I think the match itself was bland, wasn't very good. It was quite predictable at times. And you say, they overdid stuff. But I think with Bray, I think you can get away with. When you've got a character that good and that over with the fans, or at least before Hell in a Cell, I think when it comes to actual in-ring matches, it doesn't have to be a classic. I mean, you only look at the match of SummerSlam against Balor. That wasn't a great. I know it was quite a quick match, but it wasn't even that great wrestling-wise. But it probably got the best reaction out of the whole of the SummerSlam card, didn't it? Because fans just wanted to see it. Fans are excited about the storyline, the entrances. I think with WWE, that's where they're so amazing and have been so amazing for so long is sort of storyline telling and entertainment, and that's why it's entertainment for that regard, as opposed to wrestling. Obviously, if you want to watch an incredible wrestling match, then NXT, Dynamite, each week in, week out, that's your pick. If you want to watch storyline tellings, all sorts of bonkers, then the Firefly Funhouse, Bray Wyatt, that's obviously what you want to watch.
Yeah, I just mean from a Seth Rollins perspective, it's time to go back to the, to go back to the drawing board for him. He might need to come up with a new finisher.
I quite agree. Seth,
but chuff for Bray Wyatt because he has been the best thing on WWE TV.
Yeah, no, I do feel a bit sorry for Seth. I think some of the criticism is a bit harsh, but his reign.
He just works better as a villain.
He does.
Nick, to be honest.
You're spot on. His evil laugh.
He works better as a cocky, arrogant villain for the things that he can do in the ring and the way he can just say without saying it that he's better than somebody.
He carried the company.
He works better as a villain.
He did in 2014, 2015, the heel turn on the Shield. Him and Ambrose's feud carried the company post. That was one of the best feuds that was around at the time. I think with Seth as well, I think some of his criticism was a bit harsh. I mean, you only have to look at his match with Brock before that. I was so anti-Seth. A match actually changed my opinion of Seth in mid-match. I'm sure, listening to a few other podcasts, a lot of other guys agreed as well that you're extremely, extremely above talented. If you can do that, you're getting almost booed when you're coming out to the ring. If you can actually change your opinion, get so sucked into a match because you're enjoying it, you've got a lot about you. I think since Mania, they've not got the booking correct on him at all. Maybe it's both his promos. I know it's a two-way street.
Once again, it's a Bret Hart kind of title reign with great matches, but just not being given, you know, or I guess he has been given microphone time, but just not to tweak the character at all.
That's been the worst part.
and for me and you and Chris and Mark and stuff, I'm... The reset button in WWE should have been pressed at Hell in a Cell. The Fiend should have become the champion, Universal Champion, and Sasha Banks should have become the Raw Women's Champion. That was the reset button that needed to be pressed, and they didn't do it. And now they've done it with the Fiend, and now we've Sasha Banks has changed brands. So I would have had Sasha and Bayley as the women's champions, and I would have had the Fiend as Universal Champion. That's what I would have done personally, from Hell in the Cell onwards, and then possibly have Bayley and Sasha as the women's tag team champions again, and then have them against Becky and Charlotte, that kind of thing. So,
yeah,
but the Fiend. Fiend's a champion, so we're very happy about that because we championed him since WrestleMania, and
I think it's just they got to be careful where they go from here as well with it. It could even be, I know whilst they've hit a peak, but some of the stuff they've done since, as I say, post Hell in a Cell has been so poor as well. They've only got to cock up the first two Firefly Funhouses, and it's a disaster. I was actually, luckily on SmackDown this week, I was fearing when they announced that he was going to be the guest on SmackDown. I was so worried if he came out, because so the character Bray Wyatt should never leave the Firefly Funhouse. It'll be a disaster if he comes in like a in-ring segment. Yes, it might be funny, it might go right, but you just know it's just a disaster waiting to happen, don't you?
He can't do it as the Fiend, though, can he?
No, exactly. So I think they've just got to.
He's got to be Bray Firefly Funhouse.
No, I'm saying to keep him in. Don't come out to Miz TV and. That character Bray can't come out to Miz TV. If they do it through with him in the Firefly Funhouse talking to Miz in the ring, that's a different story. That could potentially work, I guess. But I was just so.
I might see it on this week's SmackDown.
Was it this week coming up? Sorry,
it might be on this week because obviously it got changed last week.
So it might still happen. I thought we got away.
You've got the opportunity to sit through a fantastic main event in Roman Reigns against Baron Corbin.
Oh, that'll be good.
I'm sure that'll be much better than last week's.
I'll always
please
enjoy Baron
Corbin. Please sense the sarcasm in my voice.
I'll always enjoy Baron Corbin match. King Corbin, I must add as well.
Oh, King Corbin, sorry. Let me profusely apologise.
You are listening to Jack Sinclair, and you should check out bbgwrestling.com.
Moving away from Crown Jewel and a bit more into some more positive news.
Well, I've got some more negative news, and we can get to the positive afterwards, possibly.
Go on to some negative news.
Yeah, just from some stuff that I've been sent in chat and stuff by Chris, that the Evolution pay-per-view has been retired.
Yeah.
Which I think is absolutely shocking, considering it was one of the best pay-per-views last year. That was the evolution of women's wrestling to have their own pay-per-view. Could have been an annual event easily, and they've cancelled it and retired it, it seems. So, yeah, not good.
I think with that as well, I've said it before on the show that I feel... I felt as if I'd not got anything against it, and if it was on again, I'd enjoy it and watch it. I think with the Evolution, it was almost the crowning achievement that they've set out what they've wanted to achieve. They really have changed the face of women's wrestling. Back in the day, it was obviously bra, panties, and what have you. Now, women's match is still the show. I mean, WrestleMania 30, it's all stemmed back to WrestleMania 32 when the women stole the show. It's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. They've obviously then had Royal Rumble matches, had NXT matches, Elimination Chambers, etc. So now I felt like this was just the top of the iceberg, and they've smashed all the goals there is. Well, then they may have entered WrestleMania just to top it off even more. So whilst I said it would be great if there wasn't another one, I don't think it's too disheartening on the females, especially now as well. I think the reason they did it in the first place was because they weren't obviously allowed to compete on the Saudi shows. But now that obviously, as we saw recently on Crown Jewel, that the women did start to wrestle, maybe that could also be a factor, regardless of where WWE's contract is with Saudi. That could also be another factor as well, that they've started to even wrestle on these sort of shows as well.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. And friend of the show, The Draw, Sami Callihan.
Oh, that's my positive news.
Yeah, it's a positive news, sorry. Friend of the show, Sami Callihan, won the Impact World Championship in a brutal steel cage match against The Machine, Brian Cage, with a Cactus Special, which is a pile driver from the top rope. And the best thing about this, I was watching this show live, and I was like, you know, they're not featuring Tessa Blanchard. They did like a video and stuff, but you think, you know, this is Access TV. You know, you've got to put her in a prominent position. She comes out post match, does a stare down, and the show goes off the air, and it's like, yes, that's fantastic. We didn't quite get the X Division, Option C, and then Sami versus Tessa at say Slammiversary or what have you. But it looks like we're back on the right page, and for the journey to continue with Sami Callihan against Tessa Blanchard, which has probably been the feud of this year. And also on the show, a fantastic street fight between the new X Division champion, or the new XXX Division champion, Ace Austin, took on Eddie Edwards. And that was a fantastic match as well. So,
yeah, no, special shout out to Sami, as I say, friend of the show. Great moment for him, not Sami Zayn. Fantastic moment, and hopefully we'll get another interview in the future with him.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of going through chat stuff. So if you could vote for us on the Wrestling Podcast Awards as Broken But Glorious, the best trio. So that's me, Chris, Nick, sometimes Mark. That'd be absolutely fantastic. Thank you very much.
Do you want to promote with books as well while we're at it?
I've got British wrestling book based on the 2001-2007 period, looking at some of the FWA shows, the super shows of 2005. I myself went around the Midlands in the 2007, so I kind of focus a lot of my attention on that. That's called The Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. I've done a WWE book, which Nick touched on earlier, with the Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair match. Yeah, that's covered in the book for 2016. So looking at the Raw, SmackDown, NXT takeovers, Raw, SmackDown pay-per-view, sorry, NXT takeovers, house shows, Cruiserweight Classic. And that's called a Fans Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE. And my latest wrestling book is called A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. And that's based on 2008-2009. So I attend the match between Bryan Danielson, WWE's Daniel Bryan, and Zack Sabre Jr. And they had a fantastic match, as you can imagine. And I go to WrestleMania 24, so the before, during, and aftermath of that is written about in the book. I fancy booked Paul London to the main event because he had it in during the Chris Jericho Shawn Michaels feud and they didn't take advantage of it. So I booked it, from my opinion. I met my childhood hero, Bret Hitman Hart. I looked at women's wrestling. Gail Kim and Awesome Kong featured. Looked at some of the best matches in 2008. So I think Edge versus The Undertaker, Hell in a Cell. And 2009, looked at some British wrestling shows as well. These are all available signed on my Big Cartel, fansperspective.bigcartel.com. You can get them on Amazon, in paperback and Kindle. Kindle's instantaneous. And if you've got Kindle Unlimited, you can download them for free. And I get paid per page as you read in your first sitting. So...
Fantastic.
We do have more to talk about. I'm just skipping through the Facebook chat. So, Nick, if you could just talk about stuff for a minute.
That's right. Okay.
The lads at Turnchuckle have just interviewed Savio Vega. So that's Mark Knox and Pablo Melons. Savio Vega is one of the people who follows me on Twitter, actually, just randomly out the blue. So I'm looking forward to hearing what that interview is all about. And I think in terms of positive, because we talked about a negative. Oh, actually, a little bit more negative. I know I'm supposed to be the positive person, so this is a bit ironic. All doesn't seem well behind the scenes at Ring of Honor, which I'm absolutely gutted to say because it was my introduction to American indie wrestling and indie wrestling in general. Joey Mercury's, you know, spoke out and said that the ROH women's champion had been wrestling with a concussion. There's been travel issues, just all behind the scenes stuff, and it just doesn't look good. Hoping against hope that they can get back on, get back on track. I think personally, it kind of needs a PWG takeover with the wrestlers being in charge of the company. But they're a corporate company, so I can't see that happening. But the thing that really, dismays me is, about 9 months ago, they were in Madison Square Garden. And I know they were in, with New Japan and stuff, but it's crazy how far a company can fall. And, we're really struggling to see where they fit in today's wrestling landscape, especially in America. You've got, fantastic companies. One of Chris's favorite promotions is Major League Wrestling. You've got NWA Power. Ohio Valley Wrestling's started doing a YouTube show as well. New Japan. Evolve. Obviously on the WWE Network. New Japan are going to be running their own American company. Impact Wrestling has, come back with a vengeance since March 2018, possibly, with Don Callis and Scott D'Amore taking over the reins there. So worrying times at a Ring of Honor, to be honest. Like I said, hopefully they can get through it. I mean, I don't know if you've watched or anything, Nick, but what do you make of the ROH situation?
Yeah, I mean, I've never really watched too much Ring of Honor, if I'm honest. I know, obviously, it's a great company. I know there's always matches to go and watch. Obviously, I have the bit of knowledge that majority of wrestling fans have. WWE have obviously claimed the amount of talent WWE have claimed from there is obviously staggering. You've got to go back and watch when they do like the documentaries, like the CM Punk documentary. That was class when they went back to his Ring of Honor days. Brian as well, his Ring of Honor days. So it would be absolutely gutting if that company does go down, especially with all of the history it's got. And it's
the who's come through Ring of Honor.
That's
the scary thing, Nick.
Regardless of if you're a fan of the company or not, I just think if you're a fan of wrestling, you should be grateful for Ring of Honor. So I'd be gutted if they do go out of business. And that's coming from a fan who's never even watched the live pay-per-view, but obviously it's just the fan who loves wrestling. I love everything about it. Ring of Honor, they deserve an almighty and incredible, huge amounts of credit to where wrestling as a whole is, and that we obviously all enjoy and we're talking about it now, wrestling. I think Ring of Honor deserves an enormous amount of credit.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have a partnership with Powerslam.tv. You know, I think there's over 140 promotions. I think on last count, it's about 6,000 hours, maybe. I myself have watched some things on there. So hitting high spots with Phoenix, Jody Flores, friend of the show. The Montreal Fury, if you've got a spare 5.5 hours, definitely worth watching. It's very, very interesting. And the Monday Night War debate with Eric Bischoff and Bruce Pritchard, which was hosted by Chris Jericho, AW champion, sorry. And the code for that for 1 month free is Broken Free. So, yeah, go check it out. And moving swiftly on to the positive in pro wrestling, there's just two of us this week, Nick. So what's your match, mate?
Yeah, my match this week, going for what was a fantastic episode of SmackDown. Really great. I'm going for... excuse me. going for...
wow, that was a cracking match. I don't even remember watching that.
So I was trying to go for a sneeze. I will be sneezing again in a second. Yeah, it's for.
We could probably finish on the SmackDown, Nick, if you've got another match that comes to mind, because that could be the ultimate positive on the show.
It's gonna have to be. Sorry, it's got to be Adam Cole, Daniel Bryan. Just an incredible match, great main event, and a bit of a shock as well. Adam Cole obviously winning clean, did not expect that at all. But I think as soon as this match was out, it's just WWE, full credit. It was looking like, obviously, they weren't going to have a show altogether. And then they managed to pull out a potential two superstars who you will hope will cross paths many, many times in the future. Dream matches, as they say. It was just fantastic, and so delighted that Adam Cole won clean. And what pleased me the most as well, from an actual wrestling point of view match, but the fact that Adam Cole got such a big pop as well upon entry. I've always made it clear that I feel like it was crying out for them to come out on the night after WrestleMania this year, the Undisputed Era in the Kofi Seth match. They should have come out. Speaking to people who went to WrestleMania this year, they said exactly the same thing. The whole arena was crying out for them to come out. They're so over. And Adam Cole, I think he will go on to be one of the best, if not the best wrestlers, if he's not already, in the whole company altogether, and in fact the whole wrestling world. So some strong praise.
Absolutely, 100%. So we'll come back to positive in pro wrestling in just a second, but this was going to be the ultimate positive thing to finish the show on, but you've already started it by saying about the main event. Because of, you know, most of the roster being in Saudi Arabia, I was like, okay, probably need to stay up for SmackDown. Getting different updates on the day on Twitter saying, you know, Triple H has got the NXT roster to go to SmackDown. I was like, yep, this is going to be a groundbreaking show. You know, from there, you've got Shayna Baszler, the NXT Women's Champion, goes in and attacks the SmackDown Women's Champion, Bayley, and Sasha Banks. And you think to yourself, is this finally the shots fired in the MMA Four Horsewomen versus the Four Horsewomen feud, which, you know, we'll see what happens tonight on Raw and going forward, obviously. But that was amazing. Then you had Keith Lee and Matt Riddle attack Sami Zayn, and the crowd was just, you know, just incredible for it. No pun intended. Tommaso Ciampa comes out and interrupts The Miz, and you get a match between the two of them. And Ciampa wins, and it's like, okay, this is great. Tegan Nox and Rhea Ripley, which is, you know, a pretty strange team, but, you know, working for the greater good of the brand, comes in and beats Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. And then, like you said, Daniel Bryan was looking for a fight, and, Triple H teased himself, Shawn Michaels, and then finally the NXT champion, Adam Cole. Brian, you know, demands the title match. And like you said, I can completely understand why it's your positive in pro wrestling match of the week, because it's probably the match of the month and it's going to probably be up there as one of the matches of the year as well. I think in terms of the ending, I can't believe that he beat him clean. I honestly thought that they were going to introduce the Undisputed Era, especially with Roderick Strong there. And then you've got an opportunity then for a four-on-four match between the Undisputed Era and, say, two Raw and two SmackDown wrestlers for Survivor Series. So I'm not sure about the booking of that, but in terms of a, you know, I was going to say main roster debut, although he was at the Rumble, wasn't he, Adam Cole? But yeah, for a standalone, you know, I'd never been on the show before. The fans knew who he was. They went crazy when his music came and obviously did the boom and everything. And yeah, that match was fantastic. And, you know, just fancy booking really quickly. Could have done the Undisputed Era against Bryan and, say, Roman Reigns on SmackDown. And I don't know, give me two people on Raw, Nick. I'm a bit frazzled.
On Raw, I'll give you Seth.
Two good guys are up the card. I can't think.
I'll give you Seth Rollins and God, good guys. I think it was Hills. And Ricochet.
Yeah, Seth Rollins and Ricochet, there you go. Because what I was thinking was it was going to be Roman, Seth, and because there is no Dean, then there was going to be, you know, somebody else. So, yeah, could have done something like that. But SmackDown was awesome. I've still got it taped. It's still on my thing, and it's going to take something really impressive to delete it off my box. You know, honestly, Chris said it's the first full SmackDown he's watched in 10 years.
Yeah, it was.
You know, I was raving about it on Twitter. Didn't want to, you know, spoil it for yourself, so I didn't say anything in chat. But that was a fantastic SmackDown, and I'd have NXT do the same tonight on Raw to show that they can do it to both brands, and then either a reaction on Wednesday, which will get huge views based on what happened on SmackDown for NXT on the USA Network, or definitely next week. So contemplating staying up and watching Raw tonight. Okay.
It was just a quick touch on that as well. I thought it was better than anything, any invasion angle that's ever happened. And I think that was my favourite ever invasion sort of. We see it obviously a lot recently of when you get like invasions. We had, what was it, when Raw was under siege. We had like, it was 2005 when Raw and SmackDown kept invading each other. The Nexus invasion. Obviously the obvious, the actual invasion, yeah, 2001. Yeah. I think this was my favourite ever one. I love the way it was done.
Though, when WCW turned on WWF to go with ECW, did you see that come in?
It was, I'll be honest,
they just turned the back.
I was very young at the time.
Okay, wasn't it?
I think it was, yeah, it was. I watched obviously a lot of it back on YouTube. I'd say that the Nexus one I enjoyed because I just let that came out of the blue to me and how brutal it was. But it doesn't always have to be all
Justin Roberts with his tie.
I just feel with this, it wasn't obviously whilst brutal attacks are great, I thought this was just done very clean, very logically, and NXT just look like a dominant force, but what they've been billed as, there's no bullshit. There's the best place to get different type of wrestling. And I just felt like it was done to perfection, I thought, the episode in all aspects. And whoever booked it at the show, I imagine Triple H had a lot of the say in it. Incredible.
They've said that it's Vince behind the scenes, Nick.
Really? Well, fair play. Maybe this Saudi thing's sparked him into life.
But the thing is, in this situation, they challenged NXT to the Survivor Series match. If they didn't get it started on Friday, because obviously plans change and stuff, surely this could have been the plan without the, you know, the Saudi disruption, because they've got to kick start it somehow.
Well, I imagine
they're exactly going to wait to get NXT involved.
Yeah, I don't think they'd have probably done the matches as such. I think they would have probably actually done a brutal attack, to be fair. Now that I've said it, they'd have probably just all come out after the end of, I don't know, say if it was Brian versus, say, hypothetically, Brian against Corbin in the main event. They'd have probably just come out and probably attack both men. I imagine even you just have, like, say, the Undisputed Era, Tommaso, Keith, Riddle.
And the only thing for me, just, you know, obviously, as Triple H said, our NXT, we're ready for warm and stuff. I just wish they had an extra couple of minutes just to introduce each NXT wrestler. Because saying, you know, just looking at it from the perspective of somebody watching SmackDown and hasn't watched NXT, who are these people in the ring?
Yeah.
So if you could have gone down the line and said, this is the NXT Women's Champion, Shayna Baszler, baddest woman on the planet or something like that. This is Tommaso Ciampa. You know who Adam Cole is because he's just beat your, you know, SmackDown superstar Daniel Bryan, etc. So I think that would have been a cool way to end the show.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
And yeah, just to my positive in pro wrestling, because Nick obviously read my Twitter and stole my number one pick. and I've already
Beauty of going first.
Yeah, I've already talked about Sami Callihan versus Brian Cage. So mine's going to be my second pick from from my Twitter. And it's the Elite versus the Hybrid 2 and Kip Sabian, who I think should be added and made into a Hybrid 3 because he's pretty awesome. The little interview piece that he did just for you know, just for social media, I thought was spot on. I don't know if you saw it, Nick.
I didn't know him.
Oh, it was brilliant. He said, who was the first wrestler on AEW? And then the interviewer had to say, Kip. And it's like, who won the first match in AEW history? It was brilliant. Seriously, go and check it out when you get a chance.
No, and definitely.
In terms of this match, you know, obviously Kenny Omega and Young Bucks, and it was just brilliant. Back and forth, everyone got a chance to, you know, to really shine. You know, the Hybrid 2 are really underrated for me. I think they're fantastic. Kip Sabian deserves a prominent feature in AEW and Dynamite going forward. I thought he was incredible with the pre-match interview piece and definitely held up his end of the bargain in the match as well. And, just a really, really cool, you know, trios tag match, basically. And one of my favourite matches this week. Not quite Adam Cole versus Daniel Bryan. Thanks for that, Nick. But, definitely a worthy competitor at AEW this week. Really, really good match. You should go and check it out.
Excellent. Well, I believe that's everything we've got time for on the show this evening. Thanks, obviously, Oliver. Not so thanks to Chris and Mark. How dare they have other commitments? Bang out of order.
Well, we have changed the day, but you know.
But no, really enjoyable show. And as I say, be back next week. I hope you have a show where we'll be, I'm sure we'll be talking about hopefully a bit of full gear amongst other things. Hopefully we'll get back into a routine with a quiz again. And of course, the debate and of course, more positive in pro wrestling. As always, you can tweet us at BBGWpod. If you've obviously got any views on the show or anything you want us to discuss on future shows, please do have your say. And it's good night from me. And good night from Sir Oliver.
Sir Oliver. Good night, everyone.